Blessing is mentioned in that reading from Numbers. Moses tells Aaron and his sons, this is how you bless the Israelites. And blessing, of course, is not originated by humans, it's originated by God. In Genesis, we see God creating different things on each day, and he steps back and admires it and pronounces it good. He blesses it. Blessing is a way of saying that this is good. It doesn't change the nature of the object. It pronounces what is already there, namely a creature of God and therefore naturally good. So when we bless rosaries or religious articles, when we bless people, we're not altering their nature, really. We're pronouncing something that's already true, that they are blessed by God. But what Christ does for us is something radically different from that. He doesn't just pronounce us good. He alters our nature so that we are better than we were. He joins our human nature in order for us to be entered into his divine nature. There's a radical transformation that happens here. So when a person is baptized into Christ, that's not just a blessing. It's a radical change of nature. We become something that we weren't before, namely children of God. Now, children of God is a kind of a generic way of saying that we're God's creatures. But when Jesus says we're children of God, he's not just talking about the fact that we're good because we're created by God. He's saying, you are God's children in the same way that I am. And so one of the most shocking sayings of Jesus is, Abba, Father. To call God his dad, you know, it's a familial name, it's not the formal father, but to call God his dad was a scandal to people who heard that. How can you talk like that? As if you knew God in a way that nobody else does. Well, actually, he did. But he's inviting us into that same thing. And the only prayer that he teaches his disciples is the Our Father. And it starts out by our saying, our daring to say, Our Father, our Dad. To speak to God as if we were Christ, as if we were God's children in that divine kind of way. Because that's what we're celebrating in Christmas, the incarnation, that he who joined our human nature invites us into joining in his divine nature. So something radically different happens here. So we have to be a little careful sometimes with our language. At Mass, we ask the Holy Spirit to come up with the bread and wine, and we use the word consecrate. We don't use the word bless there, consecrate, because we're not talking about just a blessing here over the bread and wine, pronouncing them good as God's creation. We're saying that they are going to be changed into the body and blood of Christ. There's a radical transformation here. And similarly, when we call down the Holy Spirit on ourselves, we're expecting some kind of radical transformation, that we're not just saying, oh, bless you people, you know. No, we're saying you are going to become children of God in a radical way. You are going to be members of Christ's body. And you know, that happened already in baptism. Eucharist isn't making that happen, but it's renewing it. And it's saying it for our ears to hear. You know, blessings are powerful. When you tell a child that they are good over and over again, they begin to believe that. And so it boosts their self-confidence. It makes them filled with self-love. God pronounced blessing through the judges, the kings, the prophets, all through the centuries. Israel was told over and over again, you are God's elect, you are God's chosen ones, you are special, you are loved in a particular way. And so despite all the failures in Israel, their losses of battle, their losses of the kingdoms, despite all that, they never completely lost their self-confidence because they got told over and over again that they were special to God. And we humans, we have our successes and our failures, and life can be rather difficult at times, but if we have been told over and over again that we are blessed, that we are children of God, that we are divine in our nature, then deep down, through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad, we somehow can perdure because we trust way down deep that we are somebody, that we are God's chosen ones, that we have an eternal destiny, that we are sharing in God's very divine nature. Mary, of course, is the mother of the church. She's the first disciple. And in her virginity, and we're not talking about virginity here in terms of not having sex. We're talking about virginity in original. There is something original about Mary, conceived without sin, and therefore open enough to receive Christ into her body. Her yes, her ability, even though she didn't understand it, she had to ponder these things in her heart, years and years of prayer and pondering, reflecting, loving. But despite her inability to fully understand it, she just makes herself the maidservant of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. She says in advance the same things that Jesus says on the night before he dies. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. She prefigures the openness, the acceptance of another's will that's going to be in her son. Well, the more we get blessed, the more we get consecrated, the more we renew our baptism into Christ, the more we realize that we too can be open to God's will, that we can give our lives in service, that we can let go of our fears and our need to be puffed up and our need to stroke our ego and all that kind of stuff. We can become so humble and open like Mary so that Christ can be born in us in the same way that he was born in her.